it's Christine. I'm sitting with Philip and Marilyn Halstead in their front room. The sun's blazing down outside, so it's rather nice. And Philip, Marilyn, you've had a big celebration in your family, haven't you?
We certainly have. My father celebrated his 100th birthday on the 12th of March this year.
100?
100.
Right. Come on, Marilyn. What did you do?
Well, we had a family party at Walsden Cricket Club for family and friends. There were 120-odd people there.
120-odd people?
Yes.
At a family party?
Yes.
At Walsden, good gracious.
Came from as far as Brighton, Bristol.
Barnstaple.
Wonderful. So from all over the country. But I believe you did something in the morning before the party. What did you do in the morning?
Well, on the morning, we actually rang 100 changes for his 100th birthday, and Dad was involved on the third bell.
Well, just a minute, we better explain that this is, the changes are in bell ringing.
In bell ringing terms, it means that the bells mix up with each other 100 times. So we decided, because he couldn't ring a quarter peal, which lasts about 45 minutes, that we would ring 100 changes of a method called Bob Doubles, in order to celebrate his 100th birthday.
And this is in St Mary's, is it?
In St Mary's ringing room, in St Mary's church, and it lasted for about 4 minutes.
But he, at 100?
At 100, rang 100 changes of Bob Doubles.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, on the third bell.
And I think that's caused a bit of a sensation, hasn't it?
It certainly has. It we put it on the Ringing World Bellboard post, and it's been viewed over 63,000 times by the bell ringing community and any others that.
And we know it's definitely 63 because Philip's just looked it up on the bell ringer's times.
On the bellboard, yes. Yeah, he's gone up to over 63. It was just short of 64,000 at the moment. So
that means there are over 64,000 bell ringers in the country then, doesn't it?
But well, either in the country or throughout the world.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And 100 years old and doing that.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement.
So I presume you've had the press involved in all of this.
Certainly, it's gone into the Halifax Courier. It's gone into the Todmorden News and Hebden Bridge Times. It's been mentioned in the Church Times. It's been mentioned in the Church of England newspaper as well. As well as, of course, the Ringing World, which is the Bell Ringers magazine. Yes.
A lot of publicity. Excellent.
You could say, because we class him as probably the oldest active bell ringer in the United Kingdom, if not the world.
Excellent. Well,
and he still rings twice a week, once at practice night and on a Sunday morning before service.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and how many years has he been doing this bell ringing? Do you know?
Ooh. Well, he's been a member of the Lancashire Association of Change Ringers since 1951.
He started when he was... Four friends went, didn't they?
That's right, there were four friends. He'd be either 15 or 16. So, you know, you're talking 85 years.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad he's got the recognition anyway that he had. I believe that you, not only did you celebrate with the bell ringing, but you decided, one of his friends who plays chess.
Oh, yes, what it was, Dad didn't want any gifts at all for his birthday. You know, at 100 years old, he said, I've got absolutely everything I need. So he wanted donations, if people prepared to donate to his two favourite charities, the Salvation Army and St Mary's Church. So we were thinking of other things that we would like to do, and one of them was to see whether or not there was a Halifax bomber still around in the country, because he used to work on the Halifax bomber during the Second World War. He was stationed at various airfields, and I'd looked up, I'd investigated where there would be one, and although it doesn't fly, there is one that is you can able to view at Elvington Museum near York. And it was shortly after I'd been doing this investigation that a gentleman by the name of David Stansfield rang me up, who was his chess partner at the Mount Zion Church at Cliviger.
That's the church that's on the side of the road, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. on the road to Burnley, you see.
Yes, yeah.
David Stansfield was the former chairman of the British Aviation Archaeological Council, and he had been for 40 years.
So there's a council for archaeological reasons, for aviation,
for aviation. Right. So he'd go to various crash sites throughout the country, you know, unearthing relics from air crash sites, you see.
Right.
So David rang me up and he mentioned about this Halifax bomber being able to be, they could go and look at it at Elvington near York. And it just so coincided nicely with what I was looking at. So David Stansfield arranged all the contacts at Elvington and arranged a welcome party for him. Although, of course, Dad didn't know this. We decided between us that we would have it as a surprise visit.
So Marilyn, I presume that this is where you came in. We got everything ready for a day out, was it?
Well, we just told him what time he had to be ready and that he needed to wrap up warm, and that we'd pick him up at 9 o'clock on the Thursday morning, which we did.
No food required, no. Of course. So
you told
Dad, right, yeah, okay. no food required, right, okay. You don't have to bring anything with you, just wrap up nice and warm and that will be fine.
And he thought we were going to Thwaites Brewery.
Sam Smith's. Tadcaster.
Right, because he'd recognised the where you were going.
Then
yes.
He thought it was York.
Yeah, it became a mystery tour, you see. So as we set off, he was wondering which way we were going to turn, you see. So as we started going down the M62, we thought, right, I think we might be heading to York. And I think he, deep down, he thought, well, I think we're going to go to York Minster. But of course, as we passed York, he started to wonder where on earth he was going, and then when we turned into Elvington, it started to dawn on him, of course, that we were going to an aircraft museum.
And what did he? What was his reaction when he actually saw the Halifax?
Well, it was one of total amazement, really, because they sent out a guide. He had his own personal guide, of course, and a team of others for publicity reasons, of course, because for the first time, as far as I know, they met an aircraft engineer who'd worked on that particular bomber in the Second World War, changing the Merlin engines in all weathers out in various airfields, you see.
Mm.
So we were met with David Stansfield. He came and met us, and we went with another friend called Patrick Smith. And we went.
Patrick Smith from Todmorden.
That's correct.
I think
yes.
Patrick is one of our news readers on the Talking Newspaper.
Well, yes, Patrick was there as well. So the first thing that we did, once he'd been welcomed to the aircraft museum, was to go into the NAFI to have a cup of tea and a chat, and then the tour began. And of course, he started off in that area, then went into the main hangar where the Halifax bomber was located, yes.
And he went inside, didn't he?
Yes, David was able to arrange him for the guide to take him inside the fuselage of the bomber, which is no easy feat to get in and out of these old military aircraft.
It's a tiny space.
It's a very tiny space, and you've got to climb over spars that are in the fuselage, and he managed to get in, and he scrambled his way right through to the
But he's 100.
He's 100, yes.
You're not supposed to be able to do things like
that. No, we made sure we kept our hands on his head so he didn't bang his head. Yeah. So, and he spent quite a considerable length of time in there, you know, reminiscing over various things, because of course at one time he was being encouraged to become a flight engineer, you know, but he declined on that because he felt it was safe to be on the ground. In fact, at one stage he had a very lucky escape, because he was invited to go along, because he used to train the pilots, because most of the pilots were only accustomed to two-engined aircraft, and now they were operating and flying four-engined aircraft. And of course, during the conflict, you may lose one or two engines. So Dad would actually go with the pilot and say, right, switch off engine number one, switch off engine number two, and this is what's going to happen with the aircraft. And on one occasion, he was actually invited to join in a test flight, and that test flight actually crashed in the Lake District, and there were no survivors, and he missed it simply because he was late getting on it. He was doing something else, so he had a very lucky escape in that respect.
But he had a marvellous day, didn't
he?
He
had absolutely wonderful day. And we're able to he was able to go down. He had a nice meal as well during the afternoon, and yes, it was all nicely concluded. Yes.
And his final words were, "This is from a 100-year-old."
This is from a 100-year-old, and we were coming back, and he was sort of nodding off a little bit in the back seat of the car, and I actually took him into St Mary's Church to take some photographs of him. You know, prior to him ringing on the Saturday morning, and he said to me, you know, he said, "I've had a really good day. I'd have a right good day." He says, "And you know, best of all, it's not cost me anything."
That's Terry. Happy birthday, Terry. Happy birthday, and lots more of them.
Yes,
Philip,
very much so.
Marilyn, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye bye from Christine. Bye bye.